It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Samsung is set to announce a new kind of reader-friendly tablet in partnership with Barnes & Noble's device Nook. And the company has already released a video with detailed descriptions of the device's specs.
This is absolutely amazing.
This is so awesome.
Okay, just kidding, but we should learn more this morning at the device's New York event. Here's a question, though. Can any e-reader compete with the likes of Amazon and its Kindle? We wanted to ask our friend and New York Times tech columnist Molly Wood. So, Molly, do you have a Nook?
I do not have a Nook.
What do you think? Is this a recipe for success or even moderate, not failure?
I would say that moderate, not failure is probably the best we can hope for right now.
Okay.
The good thing about bringing a partner like Samsung on board is that Samsung has power enough in the market to make some sort of media or services deals that would make the Nook tablet more appealing than the Kindle. And maybe that's a matter of convincing publishers to allow book lending or getting more movie studios on board so that they have a better media selection. Because at this point, it's really not about the hardware at all.
Well, and also, this is not the best time for relations between Amazon and publishers. So perhaps, you know, Samsung or another company might be able to make some inroads there.
Yeah, that is a real possibility that Samsung and Barnes & Noble together could approach publishers and say, we are not the ones trying to, you know, force certain kinds of ebook pricing. Of course, the result is that even though you might have a bigger selection of books at Barnes & Noble, presumably they might end up costing more.
I feel like as a headline, this is very familiar to me. Like we're in this time now where all these big companies are trying to make alliances to fight against Amazon or to fight against some other company that has a corner on a certain market.
There have been times in the past when I've unkindly portrayed alliances like these as two dinosaurs huddled together against the coming asteroid. I think that would be strong in this case. But it's a metaphor, if you were so inclined.
Molly Wood, our friend and technology columnist at the New York Times. Molly, thank you as always.
My pleasure.
Big tech companies aren't the only ones trying to horn in on the business of established players. Car hailing company Uber is piloting a new home delivery service in Washington, D.C. called Corner Store. It'll get you lots of goods from pharmacies like CVS or Walgreens. Google recently teamed up with Costco. Amazon's got same-day delivery in certain cities. So will Uber's fleet of cars be an advantage? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
So my baby is sick. I need some infant cold medicine. Uber will send one of its drivers out to pick up whatever I need. Paula Rosenblum is managing partner at Retail Systems Research.
Just think about a mom who's at home with a sick kid and she doesn't want to leave the child alone.
Rosenblum says Uber is competing with lots of others, Google, eBay, Walmart, and of course Amazon, which has even put together a video touting its same-day delivery.
Order by noon, get it by 9. The same day, millions of items are eligible.
How can Uber compete with that? I asked Rob Howard, who's founder and CEO of Grand Junction, a company that provides software for shippers. He says think of Amazon as a bus and Uber as, well, a taxi.
Amazon is going to have the low-cost delivery because of all those, you know, passengers on the bus, whereas Uber is going to have one package on the taxi.
Uber is offering this service for free at first. After that, Howard says Uber may not be able to match Amazon's low prices, but consumers may be willing to pay more to get stuff fast. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This week, a long and bitter patent fight was settled between two warring parties, not Apple and Samsung, Personal Audio LLC and comedian-turned-podcaster Adam Carolla. At issue, whether or not Personal Audio has a patent that covers all podcasting. The company has also used other patents to challenge big TV networks like CBS, NBC, Fox. They've even sued Apple. But this week, Personal Audio settled its dispute with Carolla, saying basically that a continued fight over podcasting peanuts wasn't worth it. Both parties have agreed to keep mum about the settlement, but some other podcasters aren't under that gag order. Mark Maron, host of the popular WTF podcast, for one. Hi, Mark.
What's going on? How's it going?
It's going all right. Can you tell me who you think won and who you think lost here?
Sure, man. I think the podcasters won. I think that the fact that, you know, we took Personal Audio to task and Adam Carolla went into litigation with them and that through multiple platforms, podcasters fought against personal audio as a predatory extortion racket. The awareness about patent troll had been raised, and that we posed too big a threat for them to continue bothering us.
This was sort of a crowdsourced effort in a lot of ways in terms of fighting back. Do you come away from all of this feeling positive about that process?
What, crowdsourcing?
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't like asking people for money, but we needed help here because, you know, we would have just been victims of this, like so many tech companies are and so many people that really, you know, get bankrupted by this stuff. I mean, we were fortunate in that, you know, we have microphones, that we have people that support us, and we're angry about this. I mean, I think it's amazing that we have this type of grassroots possibility and these type of fans, because we needed to fight this. It really could have been a problem heading into the future of our medium.
Mark Maron is the host of the WTF podcast. Mark, thank you for talking with us.
Happy to do it. Thanks a lot.
By the way, yes, we did reach out to Personal Audio LLC for a response. They replied via email. The body of that email, quote, no comment. And quickly, before we go, remember that guy Steve Ballmer, former Microsoft CEO and newly crowned owner of the LA Clippers? Well, he's retired one of his jerseys. Ballmer stepped down from Microsoft's board this week to focus on the basketball team, but he did note one important score on his way out, the fact that he still owns more Microsoft shares than any other single person. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.